The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of The Teardown. My name is Jeff Gluck, and I'm along with my occasional friend and always co-worker, Jordan Bianchi.
Wow. Occasional friend? What? Where did this come from? This is like slander.
Last week,
We've done the show now for years, and now you're calling me an occasional friend?
Last week, I screwed it up, so I was told to do a different intro this week. So I thought I would try to throw something at you to throw you off your game a little bit here. Rattle you from
the
start.
You lose a few weeks in the poll and you come out with a chippiness to you. Be mad at yourself for losing, not at me for winning.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to lose today. I feel very confident about that.
Yeah. You say that every single week.
No, I'm good. I got this one today. It's not even. Okay. I got it. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, Phoenix race. We're here to talk about that here on Dirty Mo. And I'm here in Phoenix. Jordan, you watched it at home. And look, the talking point coming out of this is going to be, how did the race go? And the reason that we're going to talk about that is because they changed an entire rule package to make for better racing. So then when you change a package to say, well, did it make the racing better? It's fair game to say, well, yes, it did or it did not. So Jordan, you watched it on TV.
No. Oh. I defer to you. You're the expert. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have. You're on site. You've got a firsthand account of what transpired. I'm here for this because I feel like this is going to be good.
Okay. Well, for those of you who are obviously frequent Dirty Mo Media listeners, you'll remember the podcast where Jamie McMurray was on Door Bumper Clear a couple years ago. I think it was in the off season, like two off seasons ago, whatever. And he was talking about Phoenix, and he said something along the lines of, there hasn't been a good race at Phoenix since 1989. And that line is stuck in many people's heads because I think that's about right. I mean, you'll have some occasionally good moments at Phoenix, but Phoenix is Phoenix. You're not going to get some sort of a barn burner race. I don't care what package you have, what tire you have. I've been watching races here. I guess the first time I came here was 2005. Yeah, 2005, and if you were like, oh, name your five most memorable Phoenix races or whatever, I'd be like, Now, part of that's because I have a terrible memory. But still, I still don't think that this is the track that is the showcase for the best racing. So with that in mind, I think by Phoenix standards, which are lower than other tracks, this was a fine race for the most part. I've seen Phoenix races here sitting up in that press box. You'll remember the 2019 race, the second to last race of the year. It was the year before they had the championship. And it was so bad. It was so frightening because they were going to have the championship for the first time next year. NASCAR, that was what made NASCAR go, all right, you know what? We'll do 750 horsepower for the short tracks in 2020 because we just can't have this. We got to try something different. That race, all the cars were stuck. They could not pass. They were stuck in their position. Today, I mean, you did see, look, some cars got stuck when they lost their track position. Other cars were able to move through the field. We saw it multiple times. Christopher Bell ends up coming out of the last pit stop 21st and drives all the way up to the win. We saw other cars do it too. We saw other cars pass for the lead. Was it a great race? It was not. But again, by Phoenix standards, I think it was fine. And, you know, did the package change things? Are short tracks saved? No. I think it was probably a little better, but that's about it. But still, again, by Phoenix standards, it was fine, in my opinion. So what do you say, Jordan?
You nailed it. You were absolutely spot on across the board. I agree with everything you said. This race could be largely what you wanted it to be. If you wanted proof that the short track package is better, you saw that today. Bell's a perfect example of that. There was other drivers that moved up through the field as well and made passes, and you saw some comers and goers a little bit. If you wanted to point at this and say, man, they still need a lot of work, you could make a case for that. But by and large, my biggest takeaway from this is still Phoenix. You can do whatever you want. This is still Phoenix. This is how Phoenix has always been. This is probably how Phoenix will always be. So my big takeaway from this is, what did you expect? If you came into this thinking that this was going to be some kind of barn burner, like this was going to, this package is going to revolutionize racing at Phoenix, I'm sorry, your expectations were out of whack. Could more be done with the package? Yeah, absolutely. But honestly, I don't think Phoenix is a good litmus test for this. To me, I'm going to have a better idea when we go to Richmond and really at Martinsville. Those are the two places where I'll be able to identify whether this package is better than what it used to be. Because Phoenix, again, is Phoenix. We saw it in 19. We saw it last year. We have seen it over and over again through various multiple, not two, but three, four variations of this car of what racing at Phoenix is. It's, this is it. And to me, my biggest takeaway from this, and we have talked about this before, give me a sound, logical reasoning of why Phoenix has two dates on the schedule. You can't.
Well, I mean, I could argue that it should have two dates. I mean, you need two warm weather races. Now, should it have the championship race? Absolutely.
Well,
not,
that's
right.
I would give it a playoff race. I'd either give it a playoff race because you need something in November when the weather is, you need it in the front or the back end. You need one of those. But I would say figure something else out and make it work as a replacement. Like, you don't need two, because if you come here twice, it just maximizes the frustration of like, what is going on here? And we talked about in this show last week about tracks losing dates and that, and we talk a lot about Richmond. Well, how is this really much different than Richmond and what we're talking about? I guess the difference is Phoenix sells out. They had a sellout today. They sold out for the championship. And kudos. They've done a great job in that market.
Six straight sellouts, I think, for Phoenix.
And that can't be sold enough. That is incredible. That's great. But if you're not giving your consumers a product on the racetrack that makes them go, wow, this is great, or watching on TV, I struggle with this, because I think if you come here once a year, it's much more palatable and easier to digest than you have to come here twice, especially because if it's Phoenix isn't the championship race, it's probably going to be the second to last race or something, you know, it's going to be in that last round.
Yeah, and look, it kind of comes off. Oh, were you still going to say something? I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just going to say, like, the way that this race comes off, it's a little bit of a momentum killer, because the way NASCAR has stacked the schedule now, like, you know, hey, they had the Clash, you know, at least that's flashy, whether it was good racing or not, like, oh, you know, splashy, you know, big city start to the season. Then you go Daytona 500 Atlanta, you've got thrilling super speedway races. Mm-hmm. Then at Vegas last week, I mean, yeah, it was aero blocking, but it was still like a compelling battle, right?
Last lap.
Yeah, right? Like, and so then you come to Phoenix, and this is where you probably, your newer fans, like, I don't know if you've seen the dude, like, Icy Vert, like the influencer who, like, suddenly became a NASCAR fan recently with the Atlanta finish. Like, his thing got traction. So, like, he's like, I'm a NASCAR fan now, and he was, like, cheering for Raja and all this stuff. He today is like, okay, this isn't very good. Like, right, he's a brand new fan, and he's like, Oh. So this is where, like, the moment comes for the newer casual fans where they're like, oh, okay. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, listen, this is motorsports, right? Like, this is sort of what's been created here. When you have the expectation of super speedways, and you're making intermediate tracks into super speedways as well, and you're just trying to always sell this crazy last lap stuff, when you get sort of this is a normal race, right? Like, it played out. There was multiple different strategies. Ultimately, the fastest car got out front, then lost his ground, got out front again. And the fastest car won. Like, it was, there's long green flag runs here. There was, you know, multiple wrecks, there's passing, but it's a long green flag run. The fastest car is going to come through, and that's it. So, you know, it's, I don't know what you can do at a track like this. It's New Hampshire, it's Gateway, places like that. But I'm like you, where if you're really going to improve the short track package, I want to show up at Martinsville, at Richmond. They're not even using the short track package at Bristol, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So
no, they're not.
So, you know, that's where the actual short tracks is where I want it to get better. Again, Phoenix, you're just kind of like, yeah, I mean,
This is what it is. Like, I'm sorry. And that's why I think you make a good point about the schedule and the momentum. And, you know, we chided NASCAR for the Atlanta decision. And it proved to be a masterstroke. Like, carry the momentum on Daytona, give them Atlanta. I thought if you were a new NASCAR fan, yeah, Vegas was different, obviously, than what you saw the first 2 weeks. But there was still enough to take away. Like, this is cool. I like this. I don't know what you pull from this and say this is good. The fastest car won today. That's the good thing. Like, this wasn't, you know, like, this wasn't like somebody got in front on strategy and they just hung on because nobody could pass. The fastest driver and the best team won today. They were able to make moves. They made a lot of passing on the racetrack, and that's good. At the end of the day, I just feel like you have to do something different. You make the good point. You have to do something different at the beginning of this year to set it up, to continue to build into this. Because next week is Bristol. People are excited about Bristol, especially being it away from the dirt, back to concrete, a lot of momentum on that. And it's, yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, no rap. You have to set yourself up accordingly. And I know you're right. Like, you've got the warm, you've got the schedule. At the beginning of the year, and you're in a box, especially with Fontana being gone and how you set it up, because you don't have a lot of warm weather dates. And I get that. But then I look at it and say, you got COTA there. Maybe you move COTA up a couple weeks. You know, maybe you move Texas up a couple weeks. Like, you got to figure out something. And then you know, what you do with other Phoenix's day, that's a whole other conversation. But you just have to give yourself an opportunity to build momentum. And maybe like a road course after, you know, two super speedways in an intermediate track is enough. And then you go into a short track and it's like, boom, man, we've got it all, like, you know, to start the year. And that's enough of a variance where people are like, this is cool. I like this. I'm going to continue on.
Yeah. I mean, again, though, it's hard to beat the weather. You finally had like a really beautiful weekend here and, you know, things like that. When you've had so much weather concerns, even Vegas last week was terrible wind and all that stuff. But ultimately,
and the city does a great job there too. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't think that can be stated enough. They really, truly embrace it. And that's great.
I mean, ultimately you're not going to take a date away from a place that is selling out two races a year.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, you can say, well, what else can we do to make the racing better here? At this point, I mean, no, I'm, you know, like, you talk to the drivers afterwards.
IndyCar struggled there. Like, but okay, like, I'm curious why. Like.
Well, I mean, okay, so some drivers felt like the tire is still too good. The tire, you know, you take away some downforce and the tire is still holding them enough, essentially. That's one of the things Chase Briscoe said. Daniel Suarez talked about maybe, you know, Goodyear giving some more tire wise. And, you know, of course, there's the horsepower discussion, which at this point to me is almost taking on some like sort of a comical nature, because everybody, you know, sort of the magic bullet being viewed is this horsepower conversation. And, you know, here's where it came to a head for me the other day. So Denny Hamlin's in the media center and he gets asked about more horsepower. And he says, well, it's easy. You know, it's just a phone call. Like, you can just Doug Yates, TRD, like they can make this happen with a phone call. They get it back up to 750. And people sort of ran with it. Like, Denny had like had this insight where he had talked to Doug Yates or whatever. But Denny was, what he was doing was repeating conversations that had been in the media from interviews where the media had asked Doug Yates and TRD and people like that over the last couple of years, because this has been a conversation for so long now. Can they get the horsepower back up? He's just saying, no, I'm just saying what they are. I've seen from you guys. And then it became a story of like, Denny Hamlin says this, you know, for more horsepower, but it's just, now it's just this cycle of like more horsepower, you know, yes or no. Is it going to change anything? I talked to, one of the engine builders, and listen, like the idea that adding more horsepower in the small amount they could add would really change it, would make enough of a difference is comical. I mean, it's laughable. It's not going to do that. Like, you would need an astronomical amount of horsepower. And then we're talking about, you know, and that's an entirely different conversation, right? Like, these engines now, I mean, you're talking, you have to completely redo the entire engine philosophy in the garage. Part of the reason people have said that the horsepower is lower is because they want teams to be able to use these engines for multiple races and save the team's money. And that is part of the cost cutting model, that is sweeping across the entire industry right now. So yes, maybe that is something that could help, but if you better be unbelievably sure that that is the answer, because if not, if you completely, if you say, okay, we're going to make 950 horsepower engines or whatever, we're going to crank them up like the 90s, and that is not the answer, that you just...
Then what?
I mean, that's like millions of dollars. Anyway, what is going to change it? I, at this point, I'm not sure. Where do you go from there, though? I don't think anybody really knows, because at this point, you've sort of pulled all the levers you can aero-wise. And yeah, aero on a short track anyway is not something you really want to be talking about, but it is what it is. So I really don't see any magic bullets coming. I think it does fall in Goodyear a little bit to continue to work on the tire and get more aggressive with it. You don't want to go too far with it, but that's what you have to do. Other than that, I think we just probably got to go back to talking about the competition itself, because the package stuff, this is part of the product of this car, you know? I mean, is that unfair?
It's very fair. This is a product of the car. While the car has made racing on intermediate tracks significantly better, it has made racing on tracks 1 mile and less worse. It's difficult. It does feel like while NASCAR is continuing to work on this, they are eventually you're going to hit a point where you've got nothing left. And I don't know. You hear all this horsepower, and your point about the expense is spot on, because we're in an era now of cost savings where teams are talking about saving money. We don't have a lot of practice most weekends because of that. And so now we're going to make these changes at the last minute. And so who's going to pay for that? Like that, it's not going to be cheap. And I went back and looked as you were talking, and you know, I picked a random year, and I picked 2006 at the Phoenix, the two Phoenix races that year. There was Kevin Harvick down like 200 some laps in one of them. And then in the other one, Mark Martin and Greg Biffle basically dominated and led a majority of the laps. So like that was in 2006, which I don't have the number in front of me, but that was an era of high horsepower, you know? And so it goes back to the conversation of like, I don't think you can make any definitive judgments about this car and this package and whether it worked or didn't work and what needs to be done and we need more horsepower or this or that or whatever, because the result is the same. You're using different ingredients from different years, whether it's 06, whether it's 2019 or it's 2024, and you're still coming out with the same recipe. And so like until you go somewhere like a Martinsville, which is really going to be, I think, the big test, because that typically is a certain kind of racing that we've come to expect there and we have not gotten. Then if you go there and you have these issues, we can have that conversation. I just don't think you can at this point, because right now it's, yeah, will it work? I don't know, maybe, but Phoenix is Phoenix. But like even the Truck Series, for example, like which typically puts on great racing most places, the Xfinity Series, which puts on great races a lot, you know, a lot of track. Like it's not like they've had barn burners at Phoenix year after year. It just doesn't happen. IndyCar went there and the IndyCar races were terrible. Like this is a track thing to me more than a package thing.
I think that's totally fair. Well, let's talk about how the racing unfolded today, because I think there's a couple elements of it, right? You heard some of the drivers say it was marginally better in traffic. Some of them still thought it was bad. But like, for instance, I talked to Truex after the race. And because he was one of the ones that was critical after practice and saying that, you know, hey, like this is worse and it's still a bad deal. So he said, actually, after today, I felt like the racing was a little bit better than in years past and we could move around more for sure. He said, I passed a lot of cars. It definitely wasn't worse. It felt like the cars weren't as on edge as far as completely going from one bounce to another when you got in traffic. So he said, I think that's a positive. Denny Hamlin said, in terms of whether it raced better, he said it was marginally better. Really, he said, really small, certainly not worse, just barely better. So, you know, it, again, it's a step in the right direction, but it also probably depends on how your car was, because you look at the Hendrick cars, for instance, right? For much of the day, you're thinking Chase Elliott, you know, William Byron, they're up there, right? They're going to finish top five. When the field got flipped, they got stuck. They never regained their track position. Byron finished 18th. Chase Elliott finished 19th. And so it's like, I've seen a lot of people already holding that up as an example of like, see, like this is, you can't pass. I would argue that those cars were not as good. I think that those cars were good enough to hold their position at the time. They weren't enough to necessarily gain positions when they didn't have it. But the Toyotas, you know, the Toyotas led every single lap, but a 14 lap stint when Todd Gilliland stayed out, to try to catch a caution. So you had five Toyotas lead 50 or more laps. And just, it was a Toyota domination. So, and they, you know, it's been well documented today that they had only led 15 laps in the first four next gen races combined here. They hit on it, their new car, their setups, whatever it is, the combination of everything, the tire, they nailed it. The cars that got stuck when they lost their track position probably were not as good. I mean, it's weird to say that about Hendrick, because we just saw last week, like, oh, Hendrick's still Hendrick, and they've got their notes from last year, and they're going to be improved. But, you know, even in practice, like, Larson didn't look very good, or, like, qualifying, he didn't qualify well. So you're like, I don't know, Hendrick cars, maybe they don't have it. What's your assessment there?
Toyota, to me, did what I expected them to do. When you go back to the test in December, what do we hear coming out of that test? Man, Toyotas look good. Christopher Bell is going to be really fast. We heard some talk about Eric Jones. Like, and we've talked to the Toyota folks publicly and privately. They've all said the same thing. We really feel confident. We feel like we have, when we go to Phoenix, when we go to Vegas, we're going to be good. We're going to have a little bit of work to do, but we feel confident. When we go to Phoenix, though, we feel like we are going to be a step ahead of everybody. And they were right. And it was an area of emphasis for them, because they have not ran well in the championship race at Phoenix since 2020. They have lost. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. have both lost championships at this race because they got outbeat. So this to me is a Toyota figured out whatever it is about their Camry and the redesigned Camry. They have figured out what it was. It works for this track. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a carryover to other places. And it's not like the Hendrick cars were horrible today. I mean, they had their moments and they were okay. I think Elliott was better than – I would give him a little bit more credit than I think you would. Larson was really surprising. And Byron was good. Byron was making moves, you know, and looked like he had a good car. And so they were good, but they're not – you know, you're not going to be world beaters every week. And I think that this was, to me, a testament to what Toyota is rather than what Hendrick isn't. Though in the larger picture, I think, and I have said, that I think it's really imperative that Hendrick capitalizes on the early season tracks when they know what their cars are, because at some point I feel like it's going to flip and Ford and Toyota are going to jump them because they're going to have the advantage. And they've largely done that. I mean, you win Daytona, you win at Las Vegas, that's great. This is 1 week, and you're going to Bristol track you should do well at. You're going to, you know, you've got Richmond coming up, Martinsville. Like, I think it's really important you get your wins now because you may not be able to get them later.
Kyle Larson said this weekend that he ultimately thought Bell was the second fastest of the championship four last year, behind Blaney. Obviously, you know, Larson came out with the lead on that final pit stop at Phoenix last year, and the conventional wisdom had been, hey, whoever gets the lead here, like, that's going to be your champion. Like, it's going to be decided on pit road, right? And he got passed by Blaney. And you know, Bell had gone out early, obviously, with his mechanical problem at the championship race. But ultimately, it seemed like Bell, with what they had in that race and then with the test that they got right afterwards, they were able to, you know, get enough notes and figure things out, that it worked out. Where Hendrick, I think it sounded like Larson was saying this weekend, like they knew they weren't fast enough last fall, so they were going to try to take a swing at going in a different direction. I just think they still didn't get it. So does that mean they're not going to get it? No, but they haven't figured this place out yet in terms of like actually winning or being up there enough to contend for the championship, and which is what this is all about, right? Where Toyota talked to Denny Hamlin afterwards, and I believe he said that like himself, Reddick, and some of the other Toyotas were on very, very different setups, and they all had speed. So Toyota collectively can look at their notebook and go, wow, we've really got something to work with here. We got to get multiple cars in the championship because we're going to have a great, great shot if they do. So I think that's something to watch for. Now, is the season over? Is it a Toyota championship? No, this is a crazy sport. Things happen. You don't even know if any Toyotas are going to make it, right? Like there's no guarantees at all. It's not like Max and F1, where the season is probably over already, but, you know, I think there's definitely, if I was Ford's or Chevrolet after this today, you're like, dang, I mean, that was a complete domination from Toyota, and there was no really shining light. I mean, look at like Chris Buescher, right? He finishes second. Well, Buescher, let's see, who else? Buescher, Chastain. Who else did I say? Buescher, Chastain, McDowell, Briscoe, Gilliland. Those cars are the ones that had stayed out on their alternate strategy, and they milked their fuel to the end. They were trying to save it to the end. So, you know, was Buescher fast enough to get up to second? Otherwise, I don't think so. Chastain, P6, was he a sixth-place car? He said in his post-race comments, no, he was not a sixth-place car. Briscoe, again, like he finished his ninth. He gets a good day out of it, but he wasn't a ninth-place car. So you're not going to look at those and go, oh, see, we've got the speed, no worries. They were playing a bit of an alternate strategy. So again, like there's not a ton to really feel great about if you're the other manufacturers at this point, and they're going to have a lot of work to do. But that said, it's a long season, and people are going to make gains on this package.
To me, the big takeaway today was Christopher Bell winning. And I have said this before. I said this going into the 2023 season. I said this after he won at Bristol last year, where I feel like he is set up to do something special and to have like this monster statement year. I don't know necessarily that's going to culminate with a championship because you don't know in this wacky format. But I think that means is winning 5-6 races, dominating, leading a bunch of laps, and being that guy that forced every single week. And I thought it was going to happen last year. Really, really did. And it looked like there was a stretch there in the spring. After he went at Bristol, he was leading the point standings. You're like, okay. And it didn't happen. And it's a weird thing to say about a guy who's made the championship 4 2 years in a row. But I really feel like the ceiling for this guy is incredibly high. And this team led by Adam Siemens, who I think is one of the more underrated crew chiefs in the garage, which is a crazy thing to say about a two-time champion. I feel like this team is... I don't want to put in the Larson category and the Daniels category because that's hard to do. But if anybody could get to that level where they're you know, they win that to that frequency, that level, and that butt kicking, I really believe it's the 20 team and Christopher Bell.
Well, you look at it, it's interesting on that note because we've now had four races. And yes, two of them were super speedways. But three of the championship four drivers from last year have already won a race.
Oh my God, that's a great point.
How about that? Is that weird?
That's a really good point. Yeah. Wow.
So,
and by the way, the other guy who hasn't, Blaney's leading the point standings.
He is the new points leader. So it's not like he's having a bad year himself. And he could have easily, he was this close away from winning Atlanta.
Yeah.
So you could have had all four of the championship four with this much different in Atlanta win the first four races to come out. That's definitely never been done, right? Tell me that's never been done.
I don't think so.
No, yeah. No way. So
no,
there hasn't been, you know, aside from Suarez winning, there hasn't been a ton of surprises, except when you look at some of like, you know, I would say Noah Gregson's been maybe the top goodness. Pleasant surprise of the year so far.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's, he again had, you know, he was going to run better, honestly, today. He finished 12th, but he was going to run top 10.
Yeah.
He had a really good day. He qualified seventh. He obviously finished sixth last week. And, you know, he's 26 in points, but if he got his 35 points back from those roof rails, he'd be a playoff driver at this point. He'd be 15th in the standings. So, pleasant surprises as well. I think, Austin Cindric is off to a decent start. He finished last today.
Yeah, so was a big hit.
He lost four spots in the standings, but up until that, he's still in the playoffs right now. Eric Jones, exactly.
Jinx.
Yeah, Eric Jones. I mean, I talked to him afterwards. He was frustrated, because they were running for the lead there in stage one. And then they fell back and they started to lose their balance a little bit. They fell back even more. And then he ended up getting put in the wall by Bubba. But I don't know exactly why. He's like upset with Briscoe.
I think he thinks Briscoe got underneath Bubba or forced the issue there, and it kind of compromised him, and it was kind of a chain reaction deal. It wasn't a direct thing, but it was a Briscoe kind of backed everybody up or kind of sandwiched everybody, and then Jones got the bad end of it. That's my interpretation of it, but I'm far removed.
Okay, yeah. I talked to him, so I'm just trying to look through my raw quotes here. He had said that was a hole that the 23 was trying to go in that wasn't really there. So I don't really know why. He said the 14 was dragging us down over and over on the restarts, and it slowed us both down so much. So that's why he was upset with Briscoe.
There you go.
But Briscoe, we asked Briscoe about it afterwards, and he was like, I don't even really know what he's talking about. Like he said, we were three wide at one point, but basically Briscoe was like, yeah, I'm just done racing people easy this year. Like I let a lot of people go last year. He said, if he calls me, I'll answer. I've never really talked to Eric before. I don't have a problem with him at all. We're definitely always racing around each other. And yeah, I'm racing. I'm trying to do what's best for my guys. Last year, I kind of let people go. And this year, I'm not doing that. The guys that run up front are the most aggressive. And I don't know what he's mad about. So I don't know if I don't know if you read my 12 questions interview that I did on The Athletic this week, but it was with Eric Jones. Great interview. For those of you who want to subscribe to The Athletic, check it out. But I'm doing a question this year of what driver would you least like to be stuck with on an elevator? And Eric Jones had said Chase Briscoe, but he said his reasoning was that he didn't know him at all and he just thought it'd be an awkward conversation, even though Chase Briscoe is like probably like the most down to earth, easy guy to talk to. You know what I mean? But so now there's some real beef that they wouldn't want to be stuck on an elevator with each other. But by the way, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I was thinking of Eric Jones, he's in a position, solid, decent in points. He left some points on the table today. And I think it's noteworthy is that they're off to good start to the year, despite the transition, despite flipping over to Toyota and having to get acclimated to the new everything, and they brought a lot of new people in. And I know I believe this, and I don't know if you did as well, but I think we both thought Eric had a good chance of winning a race this year, but we both thought it was going to be some time for them to kind of ramp up. And so that they're able to do well now, to me, is really encouraging and presents an opportunity down the road to even take it to another level if they can keep this up.
Yeah, but I mean, like last week at Vegas, you would have thought, okay, well, they do have a long way to go because they kind of missed it. He was like, they couldn't even get off pit road and practice without him coming in multiple times to try to make changes. And, they had bad qualifying and all this stuff. And so they looked way off. And then this week, they came out and they looked really good. Even Friday in practice, they unloaded really fast. Cleaning up some other things from race and race strategy today, I asked Martin Truex Jr. about the decision to stay out. And then ultimately he had to pit under green. Got all the way back up to seventh, though. But he was going to have a top five. And he said, he was fine with it. He said, what the hell? Early in the year, we're in a good point spot. He is tied for second in points right now, by the way, only 10 points out. But he said, in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have because we were ahead of the 20 bell. and he ended up cycling out pretty good and driving through the field. As good as our car was there at the end, I think we probably could have done the same thing. Sometimes you just gamble and it doesn't work. But I don't know. I don't know if he could have done the same thing Bell did. Bell's car seemed exceptionally great. But
especially in traffic, too. Especially in traffic. That and Bell's when Bell was in traffic, he was able to make passes and efficiently and get through there, where Reddick seemed like he got bogged down quite a bit. And that was, to me, the difference between the two.
Yeah, but the Truex, I'm saying, like, he was ahead. If he had pitted there, he would have come to pit road ahead of him, and instead of staying out, and if, you know, if he gets a good pit stop, he stays ahead of him. So, yeah, I mean, anyway, it didn't really hurt Truex ultimately.
Yeah,
I mean, when he was 20th or whatever, it did look like, uh-oh, now he's buried. You know, he just went a lap. Yeah. He briefly went a lap down.
It was funny because they told him, they go, after he pits, they're like, if you're efficient and you work through traffic, we believe you can get to fifth or sixth. And give it like a lap or two, and he's like, what, where are we running? They tell him, and he wasn't anywhere in the top 10 or anything. They're like, yeah, that's a bit of a stretch to think we're going to get up to sixth. And he was seventh.
Out to seventh, yeah.
Yeah, so good job for him. It's just, yeah.
Another one that I think continues to show some good stuff. I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but just looking at the results, Carson Hocevar, another top 15 weekend for him. Yeah. Yep. I mean,
good qualifying effort was extraordinary.
We kind of overlooked him in our rookie of the year discussion. We just kind of kept going with Josh Berry, but, I just feel like Carson Hocevar has, been really impressive so far. He's obviously leading the rookie of the year battle. He's 24th in points. He's actually tied for 23rd. He actually has the same amount of points as his teammate, Corey LaJoy.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I mean, Corey LaJoy had his first DNF in like, you know, a year and a half or something today. So, that's why he took points it, but
has got, three straight top 20 finishes. Two of them are 15th places. That's for a rookie. That's a heck of a start. Like, that's really good. And a new team and a situation. Yes. Like, yeah.
And remember, Ty Dillon in that car last year was obviously not getting those same results. So Hocevar, no. I know a lot of people, he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, right? Like, because he runs into people or he puts them in bad spots or they don't like how he races or whatever. But he is really talented.
He gets results, really though.
Yep, definitely.
Can I give a shout-out to somebody?
Okay.
Well, two things. Because it goes kind of our conversation last week. We talked about Stuart Haas Racing, and I wasn't ready to declare, you know, like, let's put the brakes or anything. I don't think we mentioned Gregson. I still think it's incredible. Three top 11 finishes and four starts. That's kudos to him. Whatever happens the rest of the year, we'll deal with that later. But great start for them. Stuart Haas Racing. Chase Briscoe had a decent weekend. Like, he had speed today at times, was in the top 10. Like, this is encouraging. Like, this is what you wanted to see out of SHR, like signs of progress and making gains. And it certainly seems like they're doing that a little bit. Also, Front Row Motorsports, Michael McDowell today, another top 10. And just on a track that not necessarily their best kind of track, they used some strategy and stuff, but they left with a top 10 finish. You got to be encouraged by that if you're Michael McDowell.
Yeah. I mean, he had the combination of running in the top 10 a decent amount of the day and making the gamble on fuel strategy that ended up working out by pitting there. But, you know, Jordan, speaking of gambles, the wait is over, NASCAR fans in North Carolina. Our friends, we've been talking about this on the teardown the last few weeks here, but it's now time. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is officially live in North Carolina as of, I believe, Monday morning. So, This is the deal. We've been saying sign up for it, but right now new customers are going to get $250 in bonus bets guaranteed when you bet your first $5. So you bet $5, you get $250 in bonus bets in your account to play with. Like, that's pretty good. So here's how you get this. You go to FanDuel.com/teardown to sign up. Then you can bet on everything from individual race winners to prop bets to which driver is going to take home the championship. And you can do that all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Start your engines with $250 in bonus bets. I'm kind of jealous when you place your first $5 bet. Go to FanDuel.com/teardown to get started. FanDuel, authorized gaming operator of NASCAR. You must be 21 and present in North Carolina. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. So, Jordan,
very well.
You can sign up yourself there in North Carolina and get your 250 to play with.
Okay, so, all right. I might March Madness is coming up, so why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I'm gambling on sports in Colorado. We've had it legal for a while. Now you guys are catching up, but we don't get the crazy cool promo offers that you guys are getting out there right now. So I mean, you got to take advantage of that while you can. It doesn't. That's sure, that's not like bucks, not yeah. there forever. Yeah, I mean, for putting in a $5 bet, that's a pretty good deal. So,
Switching gears here, pun intended. We talked about guys who are surprising a little bit. I want to ask you about two guys who are playoff guys or guys we thought would be in the playoffs conversation, but are well outside. The first one is Brad Keselowski. Good run today. Jumped 6 spots in the standings. He's at 75 points. So he's about, quick math here, 11 points behind Chris Buescher for that final playoff spot. Are you feeling better about
Brad? So he's back in the mix. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's back in the mix, right? Like, I mean,
a team seeing my concern, if you will, maybe my hesitation on why, where I was, or what that team was. I didn't know if they were going to have the same speed as they did last year. You know, like, and you hate to use that dreaded F word, fluke, but like we've seen teams get, you know, have a great year and not be able to follow it up. Early indications are like they rallied back and had a decent day at Las Vegas. Really good run today. That to me bodes well for what's to come, and it seems like that team is kind of where they're in the realm of where they were last year, which is encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they have a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. No, but, they do. I mean, yeah. They absolutely have a lot of work. They got to win a freaking race. Like, I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, but at least he's in the mix now. And you look at the drivers right ahead of Keselowski. Because, you know, it's always like one thing, can you get close in the standings points-wise, but who do you have to jump? And the drivers right in front of him are John Hunter Nemechek, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., then you've got Chase Briscoe, Jones, McDowell, Buescher, Cindric. It gets a little harder as you go up there, but the way they ran last year, he should be able to get in there pretty easily. Now, the other one I know you're going to bring up that is much more concerning is Joey Logano. What is going on with Joey Logano? 30th in points. He ends up getting in a wreck today, but he got in a wreck because he was in the back of the field, right?
Yeah, he was getting lapped. I mean, he got lapped at one point. You could argue he shouldn't have been back there to begin with.
Right, so like, what's the deal? I mean, they couldn't get their car where they needed to at all, and Logano just won the championship here a couple, year and a half ago. So,
and his teammate, by the way, Ryan Blaney ran in the top 10 for literally think the entire race. Like, he had a top 10 car from the drop of the green flag.
Yeah, so that's I don't know what the deal is there. That's very weird. But I mean, he's also a kind of guy that can, you feel like that team's going to turn things around in a hurry, or they can win a race or whatever. But kind of, I don't know. It's very odd to me. No, I mean,
no, I agree. 3 finishes this year of 28th or worse. Say what you will about Daytona and Atlanta because they're super speedways, but they still count. And those are races where Logano gets a lot of points typically, and in the mix, and he leaves there with the 32nd place finish and a 28th place finish. That's not good. And this, I took a lot of grief. In the offseason, I wrote a thing on The Athletic, and I kind of ranked drivers. I had Logano 12th on my preseason poll. And I just, from the conversation that I've had with people, it just felt like this team was off. Like, they just were missing something. And I still think they're going to make the playoffs. Like, this is a team that can win. They can pop off a win like that, you know. So I'm not saying raise the alarm bells or anything, but this team hasn't been right for a while. We talk a lot about Chase Elliott and what's going on there. Like, this is This isn't far off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's in that same conversation of guys who should be running a lot better than they are, especially when your teammates are running so well and winning races and doing all the things that we talk about. And yet here Joey is, and a lot of it's just bad luck, but still you're getting lapped at Phoenix when your teammates up there running well. Like, why the disconnect there?
Yeah. And part of his quotes say, we weren't running well anyway, but this doesn't make it any better. We were just fighting for lucky dogs. You get back there and everyone is racing not real good and we got caught up in it. Somebody asked him, you just didn't have the speed you were looking for. Any ideas why? And he said, I don't know yet. Just don't know yet. So
you can almost hear like the frustration in like when you say that, like you can just hear the frustration in the words.
Yeah. Not good. Certainly not where they want to be. And he's coming up on a year now for his winless streak. And I'm sure they'll get even more questions about that. Because that, you know, that was the Atlanta race, but the Atlanta race was later last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very, very puzzling. Mm-hmm. Very puzzling.
Agreed.
Let's see what else from this race, should we touch on, or do you want to talk about,
I mean, it's not a huge topic of conversation. Pit stops again. The Toyotas, the JGR teams had some issues on pit road. We've talked a lot about that. That was alarming. I mean, Bell overcame his issue. Ty Gibbs overcame his problem, but still, Eric Jones had a problem on pit road. He lost a bunch of spots as well. Like, that was an issue that's crept up a lot with these teams over the last year or so. Kyle Busch did another frustrating day, not the finish that, and I think you need, the thing with this is, like, he was concerned, their short track program, he was concerned about that, of going into the off season. He felt like this was something they really could be better at, and it seems like they obviously still have work to do, because this was just a bad weekend all around for that team.
Yeah, they were running last a couple times there. Actually, like,
brutal. I mean, he was brutal in qualifying.
The fact they were running last at the start of the race actually kept them out of that first wreck there. But then he was still fell to the back, and, you know, I think I saw his quote, something like they felt like he had to rebuild the car three times or something. So the fact that they even got up there, was notable, because it was just really bad for them. So, I mean, he ultimately finished 22nd. So it's, you know, considering the day they had, it could have been a lot worse. But
true. I mean, he got spun out and everything, and that's, yeah, like you said, it could have been worse. It just feels like we talk about teams that have left points on the table. Like, every race this year, every single race, like, they have had something happen or done something where they didn't get the finish they probably necessarily deserved. I mean, I know Daytona they finished third, but like, or Atlanta they finished third, but they had to come back from a penalty in that and a flat tire. And it's just like everything is a scramble mode for that team right now.
So ultimately, Keselowski and Logano are the only ones of my playoff drivers that are not currently in the top 16 in points. The ones I didn't have are Daniel Suarez and Austin Cindric. Everybody else are people that I had in. And did you have Jones instead of Keselowski? Is that what the difference was? Because I know we had
15
and 16 the same.
I had Bubba out. And I had Ty Gibbs. I had Ty Gibbs in.
No, we both had Ty Gibbs in.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I may have Brad out.
All right.
I don't remember. I'd have to look.
My point was going to be that largely, even after four races, even after Super Speedways being two of those races, the point standings are already sort of shaking out with the cream rising to the top. And we just documented that we think that Keselowski will probably be back in there soon. Logano's sort of the one that has got to pick it up points-wise. But, you know, other than that, the season is starting to take shape relatively close to what I think the preseason expectations were at this point. So we'll just see how that goes. Bristol is next. Thankfully, no dirt. That's very exciting. I know you'll be there.
Have you thought about this a lot? Are you excited?
I'm very excited, sure, but I'm also nervous because here's the thing. what's my Twitter reply is going to be like if it's a really bad race? And all these people are going to go, oh, I wish I had dirt back. Thanks a lot, people like Jeff. Blah, blah, blah. You people like you made this go away. Like, oh, you complained about it enough. Now it's gone. I bet you wish we had this back, huh? Well, I'll tell you what. No, I don't wish we had it back. I don't even care if it's a bad race or not. So don't even come at me with that, because I'm not going to suddenly go, oh, you know, yeah, I really wish for dirt back. No, sorry. But I do wish that I was not down 3-1 in the good race poll, and this is my chance to get back on the winning track. I know I'm going to this week. I've got this. You have to guess first. I feel really, really good about this week. So go ahead and make
quick clean up something really what? Quick. I did have Eric Jones in the playoff.
Okay, instead of Keselowski.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Instead of Bubba.
Oh, instead of Bubba. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right.
I get to go first.
Yes, you do.
What was the Phoenix races last year? Where do they rate? You're supposed to have this like handy dandy as I'm sitting over your technological hell.
I looked it up beforehand because you always say I didn't do my research. I looked it up and then I dismissed it because I didn't want to help you. But I will tell you that the championship race got a 67.9 and the spring race got a 44.8.
Oh man. I think it's important to state this, and I feel like we need to have like a disclaimer every single week. This isn't necessarily what I think the race is. I wasn't offended by this race. I didn't look at this and think, "Oh my god, we need to blow up this short track package thing and start from scratch and these cars need all the horsepower and everything." Like I wasn't offended by it. It wasn't the worst race I've ever seen. It wasn't even the conversation for the worst race I've ever seen. However, I do know what some other people were saying about it. And their reaction was not good. I am going to go... I'm going to go... 38%.
Whoa, holy crap, that was not what I expected. 38%. Oh my goodness.
So. I'm probably gonna be way wrong, but there seemed, from the little sample size I got, the venom towards this race was extremely, extremely high.
Wow.
And when you 38. Said you said that last spring got 44%, 44.8%. So, right. Like, that's – and I feel like
– So this will be worse than that?
I do, because I think the people are going to be like, they made changes. Why isn't this better? Mm-hmm. Why isn't this better? You know, that kind of thing. So, I think that is going to lower it a little bit. I'm going to go 38. I'm going to regret it, I'm sure, but that's what I'm going to go with.
No, I mean, I thought it was going to – I was going to say 49 because I just thought – I thought – it was fine for Phoenix standards, as I said. Phoenix ends up, getting pretty low on the poll anyway. But I think people are going to be voting it down for a variety of reasons. Number one, as you said, they heard, if you consumed any NASCAR media, you heard that this was the attempt for the short track package changes. This was the first test of it. How's it going to look? And people are going to go, I didn't like this. This is not good. This is not what I wanted. This is not what looks I thought I was going to see. Yeah, it looks the same. This sucks. No. Or Phoenix. I'm tired of Phoenix. Can't believe this has a championship race. I don't want to encourage this place having the championship race. No. Toyota domination. Toyota completely. And the only people that could pass was NASCAR's favored Toyotas. NASCAR loves the Toyota. Hey, change the Toyota body. Now the Toyotas are going to dominate. No. So people are going to vote no for a variety of reasons. Actually, I might be too high now that I'm thinking about it like that. But, but again, like I didn't think it was a bad.
You know what? I don't care if you want to amend your pick. Like, go ahead.
No. No, I think
you haven't officially, but you haven't officially penciled it in yet. Like, you're mulling it over in your head. Like, you can modify it. Go ahead.
I know, but I think I'll go with 49. I think high 40s is about what it would be. Because I would I vote yes, even though I kind of, no, I probably wouldn't. I don't know. I see, I'm 50-50, so that's why I think it's going to be around 50. I don't really know. So anyway, I don't get to vote on my own poll though. So
can I make two quick things before we go?
Yes.
One, I thought it was hilarious that someone said today that you carry NASCAR's water. I thought that was, I chuckled very hard.
I was arguing with a lot of people on Twitter today.
You were fired up today.
No, I was having fun with it. I wasn't even mad or anything. I just thought, like, I made this tweet last fall that I got a ton of blowback for. Because I was like, hey, like, this championship race, like, I didn't really think it was very good at the time. It kind of got better at the end. But at the time, I was like, oh, you know, Texas gets a lot of crap, but, like, you can't tell me this is any better than a Texas race, right? And all these people, like, in the replies, people are like, what are you talking about? You don't appreciate good racing at all. Like, this is good. This is actually a good race, blah, 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 right? So then I'm watching it today, and I'm like, see, now this race I like better than last fall. I think they can actually, I'm sitting in the exact same spot watching the racing, and I'm like, they can move around a little bit more. Like, I'm not seeing people get as stuck as much. I kind of feel like this is an improvement. So I'm saying to people, like, I actually think this is kind of bad. They're like, no, no, it's not. This is terrible. Like, you don't know what good racing is. So, and then he's like, yeah, it's like, you're carrying NASCAR's water, or whatever, right? So I'm like, last fall I said this, I didn't like it, and you guys got mad at me. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go back and forth with people for a little bit. But anyway, yeah. Do you want to take a few questions before we go or no?
Are good. Can I make one other quick thing really quick? Uh-huh. This is a prediction. Let's call this informed speculation, like conversations that I've had with people, and a prediction I think is going to happen. And I think this is something you probably agree with. I don't think Phoenix hosts the championship race in 2025. Okay. I think it's going to end up back at Homestead. I think today's race probably, I don't want to say sealed it. I think it was the wheels were already in motion for this to happen for various reasons. I think today's race kind of solidified it because the schedule is obviously going to be out before the fall race. Again, my prediction, just that's all it is. Not saying this is happening, just a prediction. I think it ends up at Homestead again in 2025. And I think today was kind of the final on that.
Let's go, baby. Homestead. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You need to start a hashtag, very excited about that. You need to leave the movement, Jeff. Leave the movement. Be the man.
I don't need to lead it. Why do I need to? Who is anti? Who is like, no, don't take it away from Phoenix. Don't give it to Homestead. That would be terrible. Who is saying that? Nobody's saying that. Have you ever seen anybody say, even on Twitter, like I could search replies. I don't see anybody saying that.
Well, I mean, I can, like, tell, that's, you, like,
the most lukewarm take. Oh, I think the championship race should be back at Homestead. Well, yeah, like
everybody. But Phoenix, I mean, sells out. Phoenix is a great sports town.
Great.
Like, there is,
that's wonderful. Very nice.
For just strictly racing reasons. Strictly racing reasons, you are 100% correct. 100%. Like, it should be on that track.
I love coming to Phoenix. This is a great trip. I mean, I love being out here. But again, like, the championship, I'm looking for, like, the best racing action, which I think Homestead is, like, the legendary championship track to me. I'll be so fired up if that happens. Oh, yes. That'd be great.
See, all you do is carry NASCAR's water. Look at you.
It's true. So true. All right. Let's take a few questions. Okay. One question we have here from the chat on our YouTube live that we do each week, if Jordan's equipment doesn't fail, is, why do you think it seems that we get a caution within the first 6 laps of racing lately?
Aggressiveness, race has started. People are, you know, you can make the case that it's hard to pass. Guys have to be on it. I mean, you also, Daytona and Atlanta. I mean, it's a super speedway. I just think it's a byproduct of racing. Like, you guys, everybody bunched up, they're amped up, they want to go, and this is and how often do we hear, when is the best time to get a bunch of positions on the racetrack? Restarts. I think that's part of it.
I agree. I think it's circumstantial. I mean, I don't think it's like a pattern necessarily that we'll see all year, but I think it's everybody trying to you know, they know track position matters and they're trying to go and people run into each other. And yeah, Jordan, a very, very important question next. Do you see it? Do you see it in the chat?
No, I did okay. not.
Well, I'm not making this up. People want to know this. And I really think it's important that you share this information with them. And I think you should just be honest about it.
No.
Jordan, you already know what it's going to be?
I know what you're going to ask. The answer is no. Let's just move on.
Where
to the next
did
one.
You buy Jeff's Daytona apparel?
Not telling.
Why? Can you?
No.
Why? It doesn't no. matter. It's this is
that's okay. It's over with. We already said I'm done. I moved on. I moved no. on to Bristol. I'm not talking about this anymore. We're done. People are tired of hearing about this.
They're not. There was a question in the chat.
Yeah, I'm not answering that.
Jordan, it's not a big deal. Just tell, just be like, oh, this is funny. Yeah, I got it here.
Nah.
Because it is funny. It's hilarious.
Nah. Next question. Was there something about Dodger Stadium I saw just pop up on my phone?
What do you guys think about Dodger Stadium potentially getting the Clash?
Remember last week on this show, we had this mm-hmm. question about the Clash, and I said to you, we need to have the conversation. This was the conversation. As, okay. It came out this week, but I had heard last week, I've actually heard before that, this is a conversation. I don't know. Like, I get wanting to be in the LA market. Yes, it's important. Is that going to really move the needle, though? Is there? You've already done LA for 3 years at the historic LA Coliseum, this venue that toasted multiple Olympics, Super Bowls, all of these things. Is doing it in Dodger Stadium, like, is that give you the same vibe? Like, it feels like you're just trying to wedge something in there. So it really doesn't move the needle for me. But the question is what do you do with the Clash then? Because I don't know if the Clash, I think if you go international, it's not going to be a non-points race. So it wouldn't be the Clash. So then where do you put the Clash?
Well, I mean, Steve Phelps talked to Dustin Long this weekend outside the little driver's meeting briefing that they had. And Steve Phelps said, you know, it was something where they had talked to, like, doing something in conjunction with Formula E,
yeah.
which obviously, you know, that is something that might make sense in a way to me, because you get a lot of help from setting up the course, right? Like, you're not having to pay for everything to create an entire road course in the Dodger Stadium parking lot or whatever they were going to do. You also have Formula E bringing in barriers and using their road course construction knowledge or whatever, if that was what they're going to do. But he also made it sound like, was that a discussion we had? Yeah. Yes, but that was, yeah.
Yeah, like, we have tabled it. We moved on elsewhere. And I just don't think a road course race in a parking lot is, I mean, I don't know how the, I will admit, like, I don't know the layout, but I have a hard time thinking that you're going to be able to come up with a layout for stock cars that's going to be conducive to a good race. I'm having a hard time seeing it. So, yeah. But I will say, when I first heard about the Coliseum, I laughed and I'm like, there's no way this could happen. There's no way they could do this. I do think NASCAR gets the benefit of the doubt after Chicago and the Coliseum, but I just feel like you're better served to go somewhere else with this race, a different market, or right, back to Daytona.
Let's get out of here on this question,
sorry,
Jordan.
I rambled.
No, you're fine. You tweeted during the race that there was some sort of an engagement issue with
Eric Jones'
pit stop, and you said that you have commitment issues.
Yes.
You put this to the entire Twitter world, X world. So what's the deal, Jordan? Why do you have commitment issues?
Why do I have commitment? Oh man, this is like therapy time.
Yes, sit on
I'm
the couch.
A very work.
Nobody's
first...
listening. Okay.
Yeah, no one's. Yeah, I. Oh man, there's a lot of people that get angry here. I don't feel like I can give a relationship 100% of my focus, and so. I'm not good at them because I tend not to focus, give it the needed attention to have a successful relationship.
Okay. Can I just point out something?
Nah, I don't know what you're going to point out, but tread carefully, please.
Okay. I understand being married to your job. Our friend Bob is actually married to a person. as well as his job.
Bob gives me hope. But I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to delve into Bob's personal life because it's none of my business to say. She's very understanding. Very understanding, and she's accepted.
Okay, so just find somebody that's understanding.
Because even if they say even if they say they're understanding, they don't necessarily stay understanding, and that can change. And when it changes, that's when things go haywire.
Okay. And how do you feel about that? Just kidding. This has been Therapy with Dr. Jeff. Everybody,
it's the way it is. I've accepted it.
We've had, in reality, you guys, we've had these conversations on long car rides.
Long time. Yeah.
To the All-Star race, to Bristol. I'm jabbing the needles with Jordan, trying to pick away the layers here. That would be a great podcast in itself. Car rides. The chat says that Jordan is married to the game. So that's what it is.
It is, man.
All right. Well, Jordan, we get to to be back at the track next week. My 2-week run here is coming to an end. I will be watching Bristol on TV, but I'll be probably throwing a Bristol party, I guess, for myself that it's not dirt and celebrating.
Quickly, on behalf of the people, can we get a one more wrap next week? In some kind of dirt is gone, thank goodness wrap?
Probably not. I mean, probably not. I have to. The inspiration has to strike, and I'm not angry.
Okay.
And you rap when you're angry.
But it could be a good rap, though. Why does it have to be an angry rap? Couldn't it be a positive rap, an uplifting rap?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
Well. Anyway, Jordan, this has been insightful and enlightening with your issues. I hope you seek help so that you can have a more well-rounded life. And everybody else, thanks as always for listening. Please check out our work on The Athletic. We're trying to pump out the content there. My 12 questions this week is with Jesse Love. That was really interesting. Got to talk to him, got to know him a little bit through that. So if you're interested in him, or if you want to check out last week's with Eric Jones to see why he does not want to ride elevators with Chase Briscoe, or the fact that he goes mountain lion hunting. That was wild story from that. So check those things out. Got lots of stuff. And that's it, theathletic.com/NASCAR. So thank you for supporting our work. Thanks for listening to this podcast. And we will talk to you next time on The Teardown. See you, everybody.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.